We're talking about the Christian ex-gay movement, which tries to help homosexuals convert to heterosexuality with the help of prayer. At the core of the movement is the belief that homosexuality is in conflict with Christianity. My guest, Alan Chambers, is the president of the largest ex-gay organization, Exodus International. Founded in 1976, it now has 130 member agencies. Chambers says Exodus has witnessed the transformations of thousands of men and women. Chambers describes himself as a former homosexual. He's now married and has two children. Why do you believe that homosexuality is in conflict with Christianity?
Well, for the mere fact that the Bible states that it is. Every major religion, from Hinduism to Buddhism to Christianity to Judaism, have a prohibition against homosexuality. It's something that, for me, as a young Christian, I grappled with my gender identity as it was in conflict with my faith. And the majority of men and women who seek out help have that same conflict. They know what the Bible says about homosexuality. They didn't choose to feel gay, and they don't want to feel gay. And so they find an alternative, and that's the alternative that Exodus promotes.
Do you think that the people who you consider to be successful in your program completely convert from homosexuality to heterosexuality, or do you see it more as like a lifelong process of resisting continuing homosexual feelings?
I think it's all of the above. I have talked with and met people who say that they have walked completely away and will never struggle with that again, or have never struggled with that again. I believe there's everyone on the continuum. I often like to use the phrase that I will never be as though I never was. I can't forget where I used to be, and I can't deny the fact that I'm still human and I could be tempted in every way. But today, where I live my life, and I believe this is true of those who would say they have successfully left homosexuality isn't something that controls them anymore. Where at one point in our lives, in my life, I could not resist homosexuality. I could not resist the urge. I could not get those thoughts out of my mind. I was exclusively attracted to members of the same sex and acted out on that on a regular basis. Today, I believe I have what I would describe as a Garden of Eden relationship with my wife, in that she is the object of my desire. She is who I am attracted to. She is who I love. She is who I have chosen to spend the rest of my life with. Homosexuality isn't something that I even think about every day, apart from my position as the president of Exodus. So I believe that homosexuality is something that people can absolutely overcome. They can absolutely live in freedom from and apart from. But I do believe that people continue to struggle in a variety of forms. There are people that I know, even within the Exodus Network, who would say, my attractions haven't diminished, but I've just chosen to live according to my faith and according to my convictions and abstain from homosexuality.
When did you start to realize that you were gay?
Very young. I think homosexuality is something that starts very early through the developmental factors, certainly from birth. I think that we are developing into who we're going to become. And I think, looking back at my family dynamics, looking back at my environment, homosexuality was something that started very early in my life. And about the age of 9 or 10, shortly after I was molested, I began to identify that I had homosexual feelings. And when puberty came to play in my life, that was when I absolutely knew that I was exclusively attracted to members of the same sex.
You were molested by a man?
I was molested by an older teenage boy, yes.
When you were how old?
When I was about 8 or 9 years old.
Now, in a testimonial that you'd written, you wrote that as a boy you really wanted to be a girl, and you often dressed in your sister's clothing and your mother's high heels.
I did. You know, that, I believe, is very indicative of a child who feels more comfortable with feminine things. And for me, my dad was who I love and am very close to today. But when I was growing up, my dad was very much into his career, gone a great deal. And when he was home, he wasn't necessarily someone that I wanted to spend a lot of time with. We had different interests. On the contrary, my mom and my sisters were very fun. They were very exciting. They were absolutely involved in every detail of my life, and I wanted to be like them. And so I would dress up like them. I would dress up in their clothes, act like them even. And that's where I found the most comfort and the most security was in being in the relationship with them. And so I think that that's oftentimes what we see in little boys who we would label as gay or effeminate. And I think that that's an unfair characterization. I was just a kid who was behaving in a way that was acting like my role model. And that was my mom.
Did you grow up Christian?
I grew up in a Christian home. Yes, I did.
At what age did you start thinking to yourself, I've got to stop. I've got to stop having these gay feelings. This isn't healthy.
Probably as soon as they started. As soon as I knew that I was attracted to members of the same sex, I was in conflict with it. It wasn't even something necessarily that in the beginning I'd heard was wrong. I was just a kid. But at the same time, there was something deep within me that knew this isn't quite right, and I would like to do something about it. When I heard it was wrong, certainly I tried everything I could, from praying to reading my Bible, in order to overcome my homosexual feelings, to no avail.
So when you started going to regular meetings of the Exodus ministry and started to meet other men who, like you, felt they were gay and they didn't want to be gay, was it the first time you were really regularly surrounded by other men who were gay?
It was the first time that I was surrounded by other men, or a lot of men who were gay. I had found people within my middle school and high school that I was in a relationship with that were gay as well. They didn't necessarily label themselves that, but we were involved as friends and beyond that to some degree. But it was my first involvement in homosexuality to any degree. I had never met a group of gay people or people who had identified in that manner or who had lived a gay lifestyle. And so it was something that was new to that little Christian 18-year-old boy who had been sheltered from that his entire life.
Did it make you feel at all, maybe I'm more normal than I thought I was? Look, there's other people like me. There's actually, you know, there's other gay men. In fact, there could be a gay community.
It absolutely felt exciting to me. It felt intriguing to me. It made me feel much more comfortable with who I was, because I had lived my whole life feeling like, you know, I may be the only person in church that's ever felt this way before. And yet I go to this ministry and there are 50 to 100 people who go to churches around the local area who have struggled with these issues too. And it was something that was comforting to me. It was nice to know that I wasn't alone, that I wasn't the only one. And that was something that provided a great deal of comfort in the beginning days of my journey out of homosexuality.
But it wasn't comforting in the kind of way that might lead you to think, well, maybe being gay isn't terrible after all. Maybe I don't have to try to convert.
Going to the ministry did introduce me to a whole new world. And there were people in the ministry who were at varying ends of the spectrum of leaving homosexuality, some who were new to this whole thing, just like me. And I did develop a group of friends who within the ministry weren't necessarily serious about change or committed to the idea. And I started hanging out with them and going out to gay bars with them. And I was introduced to a whole new world that I had absolutely never even considered being there before. That was something that was new and exciting to me as well. And there was a period of time where I got very involved in the gay community. And, you know, at one point I decided I'm going to research both sides very well. I'm going to be involved in the gay community as well as continue to go to counseling. And we're going to see which one of these makes the most sense, which one of these wins out in the end. And I got involved in both. And in the end, I decided what was best for me and what I wanted most was to leave homosexuality and pursue a life beyond that.
Do you ever ask yourself, Why would God make you gay? Because you said basically that you thought you were born that way, and make so many other people gay if it was truly a terrible way to be.
I asked that question so many times screaming at the top of my lungs to God, how could you do this to me and then say it was wrong? And for me, I don't think God made me gay. I think he allowed me the freedom to choose. I believe that for many logical reasons, I developed a homosexual orientation, and based on the information that I had at the time, I got involved. But at the same time, he provided a way out for me, and I'm grateful for that.
You married the woman who you describe as your best friend. Were you best friends before you got married? I wasn't sure whether she's your best friend now or she was your best friend before.
She's definitely my best friend now. Before we got married, we had become very close friends and spent a lot of time together. And, you know, really from the moment that I first saw her, I knew there was something different about her. I knew that I wanted to spend time with her. I knew that I wanted to be in a relationship with her, though it wasn't something where I thought, oh, I want to marry her. But it was something that quickly developed into a deep relationship where I knew I wanted to spend the rest of my life with her. And on January 3rd, 1998, I did marry the very best friend that I've ever known.
I'm going to ask a question I usually wouldn't dream of asking anybody, but so forgive me if it's too personal. In fact, if it's too personal, please don't answer it. But because of what we're talking about, I feel like I should ask, is your relationship with your wife a sexual one?
It is, and I've been asked that question many times. You know, for me, I think I said earlier that for me, my relationship with Leslie is like a Garden of Eden experience in that I am absolutely solely attracted to her. We have a wonderfully intimate physical, emotional, and sexual relationship. And it's, I think oftentimes we, especially in America or in Western culture, get sex confused with intimacy. And our relationship started as a very intimate friendship and grew into an intimate, exclusive dating relationship, which ended up in marriage. And because of our intimacy, because of our relationship and our love for one another, sexuality absolutely grew out of that. And it's something that only gets better in our relationship because we're committed to each other, because we know one another, because we love one another.
Now, you've said that you would like gay marriage to be illegal, and one of the reasons why is that you're afraid had it been legal when you were younger, you might have gotten married to another man and not had the opportunity to leave homosexuality in the way that you have.
You know, I think that gay marriage only serves to complicate very complex issues, especially for young people. For me, as a young person who got involved in homosexuality, who was looking to find the ideal relationship. And there were men that I was in relationship with who I would have given anything to been their husband, to stay at home and make a life together. I would have chosen that option had it been legal. And I know that it would have only complicated my process of walking out of homosexuality. I don't think it would have stopped me from leaving homosexuality, but I think it would have been a whole lot more complicated than it was.
President Bush invited you to the White House in June for a press conference in support of a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage. My impression is that the ex-gay movement has become more politically connected since you've become the president of Exodus. Is that true?
We believe that who we are, the people that we serve, our constituents, are the public face of public policy. And public policy affects people, people that we care about, people that we represent. And so it is of the utmost importance that we are involved in policy issues where these things are concerned. And so as the president of Exodus, I have brought a new dynamic to the ministry in reaching out and dealing with these very sensitive policy issues, and that's something that I believe will continue to be a part of the life and the ministry of Exodus.
So you're in the position of being a gay man, or maybe a formerly gay man, would be the way you'd prefer to put it, leading a group of similar men in a movement against gay marriage. Does it ever feel odd to you to be coming from a gay orientation and at the same time be working for legislation that would deny gay people the full kind of legal and social things that you get when you're married?
I think one of the greatest myths that is operating in our culture today is that the majority of gay people are interested in gay marriage or ordinances that would protect them from being discriminated against. I think we live in an extremely tolerant and accepting culture, the most tolerant and accepting culture that we've seen, I believe, in the history of the world. The majority of gay people aren't interested in gay marriage. There is a very small minority of gay men and women, most of them who are politically active, who are fighting for the right to legalize same-sex marriage. For me, what I know is that the very best thing for children is that they have a mom and a dad. Marriage is most about children. And that's something that we feel very strongly about, protecting children. We know what it's like to grow up, many of us, in homes where we didn't have the support of both a mom and a dad, whether that was through divorce or death or simply having an absent emotional parent. And that's why we are looking to protect and promote the issue of traditional, natural marriage.
Do you have any gay or lesbian friends who are living a life that you approve of and that seems to you to be a good life with a caring, enduring, loving relationship with another person?
I have friends that have relationships, who are involved in relationships. I have friends who are in relationships with one another. My stamp of approval isn't what's important, but it's what I believe that God says about the issue of homosexuality. So I look at their life. I love my friends. I'm glad they're happy, but I don't believe that they're living in accordance with biblical truth. Yet we're friends. They know my opinion. We're in relationship with one another. They come to my house. They know my children. They know my wife. And I know their families. We differ on our opinion on the issue of homosexuality based on what the Bible says about it.
One more question. Do you think there's any chance that at some point in your life you will say, I give up, I fought this too long, I'm going to accept myself the way I am and have another relationship with a man?
You know, I guarantee you there will never be a time in my life when I go back to where I've been. I had every opportunity to live my life in that way at one point. I had every opportunity to be happy in my homosexual relationships. What I found and what I live today is far superior to that. There won't be a chance that I'll ever wake up one morning and decide that what I have isn't as good as what I used to have, or that I could find something better. I'm perfectly happy where I am today.
Ellen Chambers, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
Ellen Chambers is the president of Exodus International, the largest ex-gay organization.